Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines tonight. That means plenty of room for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage. Maybe you heard something in church this past weekend. You're not sure about it. You're still scratching your head, wondering about it. Hey, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called us in the past, but it's been a while. You got something new on your heart tonight. By all means, join us as well. Again, 877-655-6755. We're going to start out in Nebraska tonight, and we'll talk with Skyler. Hey, Skyler, what do you got?
Hi, Pastor. So I have kind of two questions, I guess. So the first is, what is being baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? A lot of different people, I think, have different interpretations of that. And then my second question is, I have a good friend who was baptized in the Holy Spirit, as he claims, but I don't believe if he has actually been changed by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit lives in him yet. He struggles with legalism a lot, but he doesn't really understand that. So I guess my main question in that is, does Jesus make us wait for him to transform our hearts?
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Skyler. Well, first, there's only one baptism in the Holy Spirit. Of course, I know there's a group out there, a charismatic Pentecostal group that would talk about the baptism of the Spirit as if that is a second experience, that, you know, you're saved one moment and then a year later, a decade later, you get the Holy Spirit or you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of verbiage out there about a second experience, a second baptism, a second occurrence of grace, a second experience that's almost akin to salvation. And unfortunately, it's just not biblical. I mean, you look at what the baptism of the Holy Spirit really is. We're put in Christ the day that we're saved. We're put in Christ right away. And we're put in the Spirit. Romans 8 is your best passage for this. And it basically says that, you know, anybody who is in Christ and anybody who has the Spirit of Christ, well, they are no longer in the flesh. They are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in them. So, with that said, every child of God, every person who belongs to God has the Spirit of God living in them. So, conversely, every child of God is also in the Spirit. And that's what it means. I mean, baptize means put into. Baptize means to immerse. And that's what's happened. We have been immersed into Christ and immersed into the Spirit. We show up on the planet and we're baptized in Adam. We're baptized in the flesh, you might say. And now we're baptized in the Spirit. So it's a transfer out of Adam into Christ, out of the flesh into the Spirit. And it's true of every child of God So what you're hearing from your friend is a false doctrine. You know, every child of God, we're blessed with everything we need for life and godliness. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We're complete. We're lacking nothing. And we don't have to chase after or pursue some sort of second blessing, second experience, or second baptism. It's just not the case. So, with that said, what's going on with your friend? Well, what's happening with your friend is that he has gotten a hold of a false doctrine, and he's had some sort of experience. I'm sure he went forward in a church building, and maybe somebody put their hand on his head, and maybe he fell over, and maybe he was wiggling around on the ground or something. Who knows? Or maybe he sat in a Bible study, and people prayed for some sort of a spiritual baptism to fall on him. But then you're witnessing that his understanding of the gospel is minimal at best. And that's because, again, you know, it doesn't matter how many experiences you've had. I mean, the Mormons, they talk about having some sort of tingling in their stomach, some sort of experience that they pursue, a warm tingling in their stomach. And so you've got charismatics and Pentecostals who talk about chasing after being slain in the Spirit or a second baptism of the Spirit. We could go on and on. There are people who chase after experiences, and yet the gospel still stands. And the gospel is plain and straightforward and easy to get. We show up on this planet, we're baptized in sin. What we need is a transfer, and salvation is a transfer. He takes us out of sin, out of the flesh, out of Adam, and he transfers us across a great chasm, and he places us in Christ, in the Spirit, in Jesus, in the Lord, hidden with Christ in God. So don't be confused by this word baptism. It literally means to place into or immerse. And when the Bible talks about us being baptized in Jesus Christ or baptized in the Spirit, it's literally talking about salvation. And that's the only spiritual baptism we need. I mean, we might have a water baptism, and that water baptism might be a celebration of a spiritual reality, but there is no second spiritual baptism. And the very fact that your friend was pushing for that, says he's had this spiritual baptism of sorts, a second experience, and yet his theology is so very far off. Well, there you have it. I mean, it's a counterfeit situation. And so the best thing you can do is love him and talk to him about his identity in Christ, share the gospel with him if he's not yet saved, and talk about what it means to be complete in Christ. Because if he doesn't know completeness in Christ, he's going to spend the rest of his days shopping and hunting and begging and pleading for another experience, and it'll be a very much a revolving door situation in this church and out the next and in another and out of that one. And my goodness, it's no way to live. So you got to know your completeness in Christ. You got to know you're sealed with Christ. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You're in him and he's in you. And that's what Jesus prayed for, and that's what happened at salvation. So again, thanks for your call, Skyler. I hope that helps. I'll put you back on and see. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that does make sense. I guess, like, how would I go about, like, telling him that he, based on the way that he's understanding his false doctrine, uh-huh. How would I go about, like, talking to him and, like, gently telling him that, like, he is not part of the family yet?
Okay. Well, you know, as far as being not part of the family yet, I don't know if we can make that call. And the reason we can't make that call is because there are many deceived children of God. There are many Christians who are, you know, they've got Christ living in them, but they're still trying to get forgiven more and more, a little bit here and there. They feel funny. They feel distant. They feel dirty. And they start asking God to do what he's already done. Then you got other Christians who they're saved, but they struggle with assurance. And so they're praying the prayer of salvation again and again. But they're already saved. It's just they've got a new awareness of spiritual life, and they don't have enough teaching yet, not enough solid teaching anyway. So they're trying to get that feeling of assurance, and they're basically having to learn that it's not a feeling and that we got to walk by faith. And then you've got the experience chasers who they've received Christ, some of them, and they're complete in Christ. They just don't know it. So they're distracted. They're distracted by all kinds of tantalizing experiences that they're being offered. So with that in mind, my point is any Christian can be deceived at any time. So I don't think we're ready to just say, hey, you're not in the family. Unless you have information you haven't told me, I think we'll hold off on that verdict. I think the more loving approach is to assume the best. And what you can do is testify to who Jesus is to you. Nobody can take away your testimony. So, Skyler, imagine yourself having conversations where you say, you know what? I'm so excited about what I'm learning. I'm learning my new identity in Christ. I'm learning that I'm complete in Jesus. I'm learning that I don't need any sort of extra experience, that I'm complete and sealed and one with Jesus, and I've got everything I need for life and godliness, and I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Wow, these passages about my completeness in Christ have revolutionized my life. I feel so safe and secure and protected and so close and clean because of what Jesus did for me. And see, that's your testimony, Skyler, and nobody can take it from you. You're not trying to fix your friend at that point. You're not trying to preach to your friend at that point. You're just testifying about the truth and how it's set you free. So I think that's the way forward. Don't try to make a salvation determination about your friend if it's not clear. But instead, just keep bragging on Jesus. Keep talking about what he means to you and highlight the truth that sets you free, because nobody can dispute that. Nobody can take that from you. Skyler, thanks again for calling from Nebraska. Great to hear from you, and call us back anytime. All right, well, let's go now to Oregon, and we'll talk with Nathan. Hey, Nathan, what do you got?
Hey, Dr. Farley. So I was curious, you know, I've been reading through Deuteronomy recently, and I would just kind of like your take on, you know, some of the laws that God gave mm-hmm. with the punishments associated with them.
Yeah.
You know, that from our New Testament vantage point seem very, you know, harsh and
yes.
it's different from, you know, like what Jesus said and did.
Right.
You know, they're...
Yep.
And then kind of the discrepancy in a way between mm-hmm. The way that perhaps women and men were treated to an extent in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's
mm-hmm.
There was the law where, you know, if a virgin was found to be not a virgin, then she was to be stoned, but, you know, nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, definitely the law kills, and I love that you brought this up. I guess some people try to sweep it under the rug and act like it's not there and, you know, act like it's all just fine and easygoing regulations there in the Old Testament. Certainly not the case. 613 laws staring you in the face all kinds of stringency. The wages of sin is death. Many of those laws, if you disobey them, they were punishable by death. What's going on here? Well, first, I just want to highlight how real this is. And I want you to remember, if you're a fan of this broadcast, if you've been following us for a week, a month, a year, I want you to think about this every time somebody calls in and says, how can you say we're not under the law? How can you say that now that we're Christians, that we're free from the law? It's God's law. Well, they don't know what they're talking about, do they? Because they're inviting themselves to 613 laws. And it's not only about avoiding pork and avoiding shellfish and avoiding Saturday yard work, you know, refraining from mowing your lawn. It's also about these many, many laws that are punishable by death. And so we have no right to go through this Old Testament law and cherry pick from it and select our favorite parts. God made it this way on purpose. He says, if you keep the whole law, James says, you keep the whole law and you stumble in one point, then you're guilty of all of it. And Galatians says you're cursed. Cursed is every one of you who does not keep everything written in the book of the law. Now, the book of the law is simply the Torah, the whole thing. All 613. It's not the ceremonial law. It's not the moral law. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not a special category of the law. What Galatians is saying is you're cursed if you don't keep the whole Torah, the whole book of the law, every regulation, 613 of them. Now, can we see why everything has to be crystal clear here? Let's not take away from the stringency of the law so that we can see our need for God's grace instead. So anybody that comes along and says you need a balance of law and grace, first, they have no clue what they're talking about. Second of all, they're not doing anybody a good service. They are watering down the wages of sin. They are watering down the stringency of the law and then telling you, come on, you can do it. God will help you. Well, that's not the way the law is designed. The law is designed to essentially scare everybody to death because they realize they're spiritually dead. They're slaves to sin. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me? See, that's a scared person. That is a miserable, scared person. Miserable man that I am, who is going to rescue me from this death? Thanks be to God, it's Jesus Christ. So there is an answer, but the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. So when somebody says, isn't that Old Testament tough? Isn't that Old Testament cruel? Isn't that Old Testament unreasonable? Isn't it filled with so many ridiculously strict laws? You can say, yeah, exactly. And that's why even in the Old Testament, they had to be justified by faith, not by the law. And likewise, the law is our tutor today. The law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. Now, how does it tutor you? Well, imagine you spend every day in a room with a perfectionist, and the perfectionist has 613 ways for you to improve your life. 613. And every day you enter that room, and all you hear is about how you could be doing more and loving more and being more and giving more and dedicating and rededicating and committing and recommitting. You could always be doing more. Well, some of us don't have to imagine that scenario because that's been our flavor of Christianity. Oh my goodness, some people judge a sermon. They say that was such a good sermon because it made me feel so bad. The Spirit was really convicting me because I feel so bad now. Well, I got to tell you, that's not the Spirit. and that's not a good sermon. A good sermon doesn't make you feel like dirt if you're a child of God. A good sermon tells you that you're the fragrant aroma of Christ, that if you're in Jesus, you are holy and righteous and blameless, and you're a child of God, born of the Spirit. And so we're not doing each other any favors by sharing a false identity. Anybody that's preaching that Christians are, oh, I don't know, what are they saying these days? You're a perpetual adulterer. Yeah, if you got a divorce and you've remarried, you're a perpetual adulterer. That seems to be all over the airwaves. Well, I've got news for you. You're a perpetual child of God. You're a perpetual saint. You're perpetually the righteousness of God Himself. You're perpetually blameless. That's what you are. Sure, you might have made mistakes, committed sins, all kinds of things. But He remembers your sins no more. He treats you as if you've never sinned. He keeps no record of your wrongs. And He delights in you and dances over you. So, we got to stop it. It's not helping anybody. We think it's a shame game that we're going to shame people into better behavior. And we're going to guilt them into better performance. But it doesn't work. The world of Christians is sinning just fine as they believe that they're dirty, rotten sinners and miserable worms and woe is me. We think that's humble. Well, it's not humility. Real humility is saying the same thing that God says about you. The same thing that God says about you, no more and no less. But we got a lot of Christians saying less. A lot less about themselves. We think it's humble to call ourselves wicked-hearted. My heart's not right with God. Well, your attitude might not be right, but your heart is new, and Jesus lives there. So when we realize what God has really done, we start to see the gospel is way more than forgiveness and heaven. It's forgiveness and heaven and a new heart and a new spirit and absolute union with Christ. You're as close as you can ever get. But if you don't know this stuff, you know, you just spend your days talking about spending time with God. I wish you were spending time with God. Why aren't you spending enough time with God? How many times are we going to hear that? It is weak, innocuous, feeble, and useless. All it does is make people feel guilty about not logging enough time in a book. What people need to know is the love of Jesus. They need to know the meaning of the cross and the resurrection. 80% of the early church was illiterate. They couldn't read. And yet they turned the world upside down. Was it through their reading? No, it was through knowing that they were one with Jesus Christ. We need to know the gospel, yes, and we need to encourage each other in it. But reading the Bible and telling people that's your spending time with God is not enough. We need to show people they are spending time with God every day, all day long, because Jesus Christ has fused Himself. He has bonded Himself to you. It is a vine branches relationship. Christ in you, as the kids are screaming in the back seat. Christ in you, as you're struggling at work. Christ in you, as you're trying to cope with a difficult marriage. Christ in you. And the last thing you need to be told in the midst of a difficult marriage is you should be spending more time with God. No, you need to know your permanent union with Jesus. Let's stop the guilt trips. Let's promote the gospel. Let's focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let's start equipping people. It changes everything.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.